Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This guy is a machine. All he does is work out and pick winners.
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
Oregon's down by 12. They're on the 45-yard line with no timeouts.
Oregon's got an all-American field goal kicker.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
Chicago Sports Betting Show.
Touchdown, Ohio State. There are some folks who are celebrating and others who are saying, you've got to be kidding.
You kind of know what I'm thinking about.
Over or under?
Under would be the key word. Hello?
Bet with an edge.
He'd find out the kind of inside stuff nobody else knew, and that's what he put his money on. He even figured out the different bounce you got off the different kinds of wood they used on college basketball courts, you know?
Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski.
A friend of mine is very smart, said I've been very lucky with gambling. I've never won.
Saturday mornings on 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
What a slate of games in the National Football League for week number three coming up. We can forget about Jags-Dolphins from the other evening. In addition to the Bears and the Falcons, Sunday late games, we've got the Cowboys and the Seahawks, Cardinals and the Lions. On Sunday night, Packers and Saints, and the big one on Monday. Who knows, maybe this is going to end up being the game of the regular season, the Ravens and the Chiefs. All of these games with totals in the mid-50s. One of my favorite early odds guests will be joining me in a quick second. Later on, we'll check in with Stucky from the Action Network, a Vegas bookmaker, and Jim Miller in his weekly spot from Hawthorne Racecourse. No time to waste this morning on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. We've got week three of the NFL, SEC back in action with college football, Big Ten around the corner. We find out the Pac-12 will be returning as well. NBA Finals around the corner, Stanley Cup Final going on. We're going to have eight MLB playoff games on Wednesday, UFC, EPL Bundesliga, if you're into that. And our next guest, Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. I know he also has to keep up with the French Open. What's going on?
Yes. Oh, man, this is so great to talk to you, Gio. I hope you're doing well. And you're right. This is a sports smorgasbord, basically something for everyone, and absolutely no complaints. I love this type of stuff. Always something interesting to be following and handicapping, and this is as good as it gets.
Yeah, no doubt. It is so much fun, even though we knew this was happening. Maybe a part of me didn't realize that they would all be continuing their seasons for the most part without a hitch, aside from Major League Baseball in the very beginning with just a couple of teams. But ever since, it's been fine.
Yeah, it turns out if you have good leadership, it's totally possible to navigate a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. Before we delve into politics, let's move over to the NFL world. We deal with small sample sizes in the NFL with only a 16-game season. So if you wait around for a larger sample size as a bettor, a lot of times your edge is gone by then. The market has already adjusted, maybe even over-adjusted. But after 2 weeks, what is the lead to you with the NFL overall? It go anywhere you want. It could be officials not calling holding penalties. It could be all the overs that are coming early on in the season. Surprise team in a positive or negative light. What really jumps out?
I will, for sure. Those first two things you mentioned jump out big time, and they're entirely correlated, in my opinion. I think a lot of the overs and a lot of the scoring you're seeing is being aided by the officials calling the game a little differently this year. But you can't really complain from a fan standpoint, because it's made the game more fun to watch. Like, no one's sitting around, like, you know, on their couch or their table saying that was a clear and obvious hold. You know, it's much more fun to just see free-flowing offensive football. So I think they're probably serving the fans well. It's going to get ugly, though, if at some point they just flip the switch and decide, actually, we're going to call things a little tighter. And or if it's inconsistent from game to game. But overall, I think the way it's being officiated is leaning towards overs. Overall, I think you're seeing kind of an emergence of a lot of the kind of young quarterbacks across the league really taking meaningful steps forward. The Kyler Murrays of the world, the Josh Allens of the world, like the fact that these guys are playing well is kind of helping the sort of the middle class of the NFL perform better and, you know, put a better product on the field. And then just in general, the clear and obvious rich got richer this offseason. You know, the fact that you have teams like the Ravens and the Chiefs, who retained almost all their key parts and their coaches, and that they've picked up where they left off really without losing a step, like Ravens especially. Like, you have to kind of look at their two performances so far and say, you know, is it possible this team is even better than the team that went 14-2 in the regular season last year and was covering spreads with their eyes closed? So that's kind of the key kind of overarching feeling that I've gotten. And also, to those who play fantasy football, like the degree to which top level players have gone down with injuries has been pretty amazing. Like, this is probably some of the more impactful kind of season long injuries to the talent players, you know, the running backs, the tight ends, the wide receivers especially, has been pretty amazing that so many meaningful guys have gone down. But thankfully, with healthy quarterbacks, we're still getting high quality football.
Before we go back and forth with our favorite plays for week 3 in the NFL, I am not a trends player, but I just want to get your thoughts on it, because it could be more about situational spots. It's what a lot of sports bettors talking about this week. Last 4 years, you have 0-2 teams when they're the underdog in week 3. Last 4 years, they are 21-6 against the spread, 78%. If you go back to 2006, it's 48-33-3. That's still a big number. It makes sense to me. Well, I'm not saying that I'm strictly going to look at these nasty 0-2 dogs and play a lot of them, but after I did my handicapping, looking at the card, there are a few that I like.
Yeah, no, and it's not crazy. And if you were to ask me, is this real or noise, I would lean more towards real. It exactly speaks to another point that you brought up off the top, which is, you as a handicapper, you as a market maker, if you're limit betting out there in the NFL, you have a very difficult decision to make this week, which is, how do I weight the information I've gotten through 2 weeks relative to what I had for a prior this season, right? And what that effectively means is, we'll take the Minnesota Vikings as a great example. Everyone in the market agreed come the end of August that the Minnesota Vikings were candidates to compete for the NFC North. They were a 9-win team, right? You know, there was no one was running to the window and scrambling and making bets on the Vikings team total under by the time we got to kickoff week one. And yet, you look at the line for this week 3 game, and they're 2.5-point dogs at home to another team that was expected to be a 9-win team. And that's tough to square, right? I mean, so something fundamentally has changed in terms of everyone's interpretation of who the Vikings are as a team. And they're being now power rated like more like a 5 or 6-win team than a 9-win team. And the question is that an appropriate reaction given the information that we've gotten so far, or is this an overreaction? And this happens across all of these 0-2 teams, where people look at the standings or look at the results so far and decide, oh, well, this team's not as good as we thought, therefore we're going to downgrade them. Therefore, we're going to, you know, put a number up for this market that is kind of entirely divorced from what we thought just 2 weeks ago, right? Thursday Night Football, great example for that. The Miami Dolphins and the Jacksonville Jaguars were power rated as exactly equal before we started the season, and yet Jaguars went into that game as 3-point favorites. And that, you know, and we know home field advantage certainly isn't 3 points today in today's NFL. So clearly there was a market adjustment that said, oh, well, the Dolphins are worse than we thought and the Jaguars are better than we thought. Therefore, this should be, you know, Jaguars -3. And that was an overreaction. And their points were available there to take a team and, you know, an 0-2 team with the Miami Dolphins and, you know, and get a discounted price on them. And I think you kind of have to go through case by case and really look at these 0-2 teams and decide, is the downgrading of this team based on, you know, what we've seen so far real, or is this an overreaction? A team like the Vikings, I would say that downgrade is real. A team like the Lions, I would say that downgrade is an overreaction. And so, you know, when you look at those two games in particular, I would say I have no problem laying the points with Tennessee because I really do think the Vikings are more like a 5-win team. Whereas the Lions, you know, as 6-point dogs to the to a team that they played, you know, they played the Arizona Cardinals to a tie last year in week one. And now they go back out to the desert and they're 6-point dogs. And they're going to have, you know, Kenny Golladay back. So their offense is going to be more dynamic. That's a lot harder to square for me that that's a fair number, a fair price than, you know, than something like the Vikings being dogs at home this week.
And depending where you look, all of a sudden the Cardinals are like 15, 20 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Things gotten a little out of control here.
Yeah. That's what happens when you beat the mighty Washington football team.
This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670. The Score. My guest, Drew Dinsick at @Whale_Capper. Whale, you're the guest. Why don't you start us off? We'll go back and forth with our favorite plays on the week 3 card. But where do you want to start? Side or total?
Well, I did. I guess just to put a final pin on, I did lay the points with Tennessee. I do believe Tennessee is going to be a factor when it comes down to the AFC playoff picture. They're clearly in the next tier of teams behind the Chiefs and behind the Ravens. But the way that Ryan Tannehill is playing in this offense, the way that he's pulled together this diverse set of weapons, Jonnu Smith has really emerged as a tight end. Corey Davis has finally given us something from the wide receiver position. Don't think we're going to see A.J. Brown this week, but they have exactly the right kind of diverse set of offensive weapons to really make the Vikings hit them where it hurts. The Vikings are struggling so sincerely on defense because they're asking a lot of some really young and experienced players. And, you know, Mike Zimmer's defensive scheme is complicated. It's going to take these guys weeks and weeks and weeks to really find comfort in this defense. And without Danielle Hunter there to help provide some sort of pressure on the quarterback position, then, you know, you just have all the, you have these guys, inexperienced guys, you know, hanging on for dear life playing cornerback, and it's easy to pick these guys apart. So I think Tennessee's offense is for real. I believe the signal we're getting so far that this is, you know, a top tier NFL offense, and I think they're going to cover that 2.5-point spread against Minnesota.
I'm all in on fading the Vikings. It's been profitable through the first couple of weeks, but I don't know if I'm going to end up pulling the trigger this week.
It's a tough one.
The Titans have not impressed me. I mean, they could easily be 0-2 with what they've done so far. That's where my hesitation comes in on them. Where I'm going to start, Whale, is how about your team? How about the Patriots? Laying 5.5 right now on points bet against the 2-0 Raiders, total of 47.5. The New England offense with Cam Newton under center, they've impressed me so far. I liked what I saw Sunday night. They're at 6.3 offensive yards per play right there with Dallas. And on the Raiders side, it's a short week, tough spot for them coming off the all-out effort on Monday night in their victory over the Saints. Their defense has been getting gashed early on, 6.7 yards per play. Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, not participating in practice the first couple of days. I expect to see him on the field on Sunday, but it looks like we might have a cluster situation going on with the offensive line of Vegas as well. Incognito on the IR with an Achilles. Trent Brown did not practice. Denzel Good, one of their guards, did not practice as well. So I think it's just Patriots off a loss, horrible situation for Las Vegas going across the country. I think the Pats laid on them in Foxborough.
Yeah, it's a brutal situation. You got that exactly right. Early game, cross-country flight, short week, injuries to so many of your important parts. And if, you know, Derek Carr is a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of quarterback. If he's comfortable in a clean pocket, he can do damage. He's got a great set of wide receivers and tight ends to pick you apart down the field. But if you can get pressure up the middle on him, then you know, he's skipping passes. He's throwing it, you know, into the stands. If Bill Belichick is the coach that I know him to to be, I would expect that he generates some interior pressure and makes it a long day for Derek Carr. So I don't mind that look at all. I was surprised that it moved down to Patriots 5. I thought that was going to 6.5. Looks like somebody knew that there was an injury going on with the center for the Patriots. It's tough for me to say that that's worth a point. But I agree with you that the way they played against Seattle and on Sunday Night Football was impressive. What they've done, kind of unlocking sort of the old Cam Newton in this offense, is pretty awesome to watch. And I do think the Patriots are a force to be reckoned with. And a kind of early look, I don't mind them getting 7.5 points next week against the Chiefs too. They kind of match up pretty well with where the Chiefs' weakness is. So that should be another competitive, fun AFC game that matters for the AFC playoff picture.
Drew, what do you like in addition to Tennessee?
So I put an interesting play where I'm kind of turning a heel after being really bullish on the Rams for two straight weeks. I'm flipping the switch here and putting a bet down on the Bills at -2.5. Similar kind of thought processes to how the Raiders were in a terrible spot flying across the country to play the Patriots at an early time slot. Even worse for the Rams, who specifically requested, we know we have a couple of road games on the East Coast this year. Will you give them to us in a back-to-back week so that we can stay on the East Coast? The new rules come around with the COVID restrictions, and they'll say, oh, sorry, Rams, I know we had you in Philly week two and Buffalo week three, but you actually have to fly back to LA to get your tests and your paperwork done. And so now they get to make two trips across the country in back-to-back weeks. It's tough on, a young team and a team that didn't have an off season to really kind of get their fitness in there, and no preseason travel. So this is an unusual situation where you're asking them to kind of bear the brunt of a very difficult travel, on top of the fact that, a lot of Jared Goff's positive performances so far this season is because they've done an excellent job of kind of keeping him upright, and they've schemed a way that he can get the ball out of his hands pretty quickly. And most of the yards we're seeing are coming after the catch. And I think the Buffalo defense matches up effectively well, stopping that from being a perfectly smooth running offense, on top of the fact that you have an injury now to the left guard, Noteboom, for the Rams. And really every single Rams injury is an important injury because they are a very, very thin team. So much of their cap is kind of the players at the top. They're true stars. And the guys that they have backfilling, are really sub replacement level. So I think you're going to be able to see some of the interior pass rush from Buffalo make a difference. Put some pressure on Goff and bring out the worst of him in this contest. And meanwhile, with the passing attack for the Buffalo Bills has been spectacular so far this season. I think Josh Allen continues his progression in his development as kind of a legitimate NFL quarterback. Not something I thought I'd say a few weeks ago, but I think he can cover a spread that's under the key number of 3 for Buffalo.
Yeah, and how about it with Buffalo? We're talking about the offense. I was interested to see where this number would go with a pair of 2-0 teams, both impressive thus far this season, but it really seems like much of the action so far has been more excited about the Rams side. I was a little surprised to see the look ahead at 3.5, then it cuts through the key number of 3. I'm seeing some twos out there right now, Will.
Yeah. I mean, 2 and 2.5 is not a big enough difference that I'm especially worried about it, but you're selling high on the Rams. The power number that is currently reflected by the market for the Rams, I think, is at the top of their range because they beat the Cowboys in primetime. And they were a popular bet. That number moved big time. Especially, as we got to close, they rewarded the backers week one, beating the Cowboys. They rewarded their backers week two. Again, that one was opened up at Rams +3, got bet all the way across Pick'em to where they were favorites before it came back across. And so influential money has been rewarded 2 weeks in a row on the Rams. And so I think that is kind of, trickling into sort of a market overreaction on how good that team is, especially if I'm right and the loss of Noteboom is significant and you start to see, you start to ask Jared Goff to perform under pressure. I need to see it. I need to see him do it before I'm putting my money on him.
My guest, Drew Dinsick, @Whale_Capper, co-hosts the Deep Dive podcast. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on Sports Radio 670, The Score. And, Drew, I want to get your thoughts here. I believe you have a play on this game. How about the local team, the Bears, as the 2-0 road team? They are getting 3 at the 0-2 Falcons. It's actually been bouncing around this week. It's been, for the most part, a juice 3 or a 3.5. Atlanta gives up the big lead last week to the Cowboys. they've faced two of the better quarterbacks, certainly two of the better offenses in the league so far, with Seattle and Dallas, 31st in defensive yards per play. They're up there in pace. And then the Bears, you have, they're 2-0, but they should have lost the game to the Lions. Mitchell Trubisky nowhere to be found for three quarters of that game. And then you're expecting them to just hammer the Giants after Saquon exits, and it doesn't happen. They don't score a point in the second half. They didn't score a touchdown in the first half of that Lions game. The offense unable to put together four quarters, much like we saw last season with this team. And in this spot, the Falcons should be the three-point favorite. Until proven otherwise, and I don't see any way they're going to prove it, the Bears can't put together four quarters of offense. So I just don't see any way they hang with the Falcons. So I'll take Atlanta laying three.
Yeah, I think that's the right side. I couldn't end up pulling the trigger on this one. I thought hard about Atlanta minus three. I ended up taking that stake and putting it on Falcons at 12-1 to win the NFC South. Realistically, that number is out of control. I get it. The Falcons defense is not great. They gave up 38 points to the Seahawks, 40 points to the Dallas Cowboys, but those are two of the better offenses in the entire NFL. I don't think you can look at those two results and say, you know, that tells you a ton about this team. Their only kind of major issue, much more so than the defense, in my opinion, is just Dan Quinn is not a great coach. To the degree that they have, I think, the best quarterback in the NFC South, and I would say the competitive set of receivers and just an offensive line that's getting better. I think their offense is going to be able to go toe to toe with all of these other teams, and they're 0-2. They're behind the Bucks and the Saints at 1-1. And I think they can claw their way back into that race. And specifically with this game, I agree with your takes. If you're not getting four quarters of offense out of the Bears, then it's going to be tough for them to keep pace with the Atlanta Falcons team. That's going to put scoreboard pressure on you. And in reality, at some point, you think Atlanta likely to have a two-score lead in this game, and at that point, it's good night, game over. So, credit to Nagy for putting together a couple scrappy wins against some of the worst teams in the NFL. But that's kind of where you want to be behind the Bears as far as expecting them to get wins this year. It's not up against the elite offenses; it's up against teams that are fundamentally flawed.
Drew, any other games, sides, totals, team totals that you like?
I took a swing on the Giants at +4. I basically capped this game like the Giants are playing the 2018 San Francisco 49ers. I don't think you can risk putting these guys out there and losing them for multiple weeks. I think you just have to try to win ugly in this one and head back home. So I took the 4 points with the Giants, and I think they're alive to compete for a win here. I laid 6.5 with the Browns earlier this week. I know it's up to 7.5 across the board now. I think that's still a fair play. The Browns match up extremely well against the Washington football team. The way their offensive line and their running game can dictate sort of the end of game state here, I think they can gain a lead on this Washington team and put them away pretty comfortably with the rushing attack. And really just the Washington offense is so far from being a competitive offense in this NFL that I think the Browns number of players coming back from injury, it's going to matter, and especially in their secondary. So should be a fun one for Cleveland to continue to reestablish some expectation for their season. And then I played a bunch of totals in the late games and the primetime games. I got an early over on the Cardinals-Lions. I think that's an offensive showdown. I got an early under on Buccaneers-Broncos. I can entirely see a scenario here where the Buccaneers shut the Broncos out entirely because Jeff Driscoll is not my guy. He's not my quarterback. And Vic Fangio kind of on the record this week, we're going to shape the offense around his strengths. That to me means we're going to go very conservative and lean on our rushing attack. And Tampa Bay stops the rush so effectively that I think you're going to have a lot, more punts than first downs in this game for the Broncos. So under is a good look there. Shootout in Seattle. My goodness, two of the better quarterbacks in the NFL going toe-to-toe against overmatched defenses. That one's going to be a ton of fun. I think that looks like an over. I played the under on Sunday Night Football. This one's the only one that the market is in stark, totally disagrees with me. I bet under 51.5. It went up to 52.5. So clearly not impressed by my play, But I don't think we're going to see Michael Thomas. I think that's very likely. I don't know that we're going to get 100% Davante Adams. And even if Adams is out there, I think Lattimore matches up well with him to kind of shadow him across the field and really cover him tight. And if you know anything about Aaron Rodgers, he does not throw into tight windows, which means I think you're going to see, you know, low efficiency passing game from the Packers, which lends them to lean on their rushing attacks. Similarly, you know, Sean Payton's a smart coach. He knows you attack the Packers on the ground. On top of that, you can kind of hide some of the deficiencies of Drew Brees at this point in his career. So I think this sets up well for sort of a rushing attack, field position, field goals, not touchdowns kind of game. So I took the under there. And then last but not least, Monday Night Football.
Yes.
Boy, did they give us a good one. Preview of our presumptive AFC Championship game here. The AFC Championship game we should have got last year. We finally get to find out who's better between these two quarterbacks, last two MVPs. Realistically, I agree that Ravens should be favored in this spot. They are clicking on all cylinders, whereas the Chiefs look to be off their peak, at least for now. But I can entirely see a scenario here where the Ravens have early game efficiency, touchdowns, not field goals, and really kind of put Pat Mahomes under the gun in terms of making a comeback, which tends to unlock his best play. So this is another over spot for me on probably one of the most fun games we're going to get to watch in this early part of the season.
Woo, there's a lot there. You didn't make me feel great about the Denver Broncos. I'm taking them +5.5 at home, the biggest home dog of the week. Yeah, Godwin's coming back. It could get real ugly. The under might be the play there. Tom Brady's had a lot of struggles early in the season.
He has.
Out of Mile High. So I'm going to take the home dog there with the Broncos. You talked about the Seattle-Dallas total going over. I think this is one of those numbers that we're going to see movement on Sunday. And I think it's going to be closer to a field goal than where it sits right now. I just view this as a one score game. You're playing that total. Is there any concern about the slow pace that Seattle has played to so far?
I would say yes, except for the fact that your Cowboys have zero ability to create a pass rush on top mm-hmm. of the fact that they're dealing with a cluster injury at the cornerback position. I mean, realistically, they could be starting guys who don't belong on an NFL roster, covering guys like DK Metcalf. And we just saw what DK Metcalf did to Stephon Gilmore. I think there are going to be shots to be taken down the field in the passing game here for the Seahawks. And realistically, the one weakness, I guess, for the Cowboys offensively is that they are dealing with some offensive line injuries. But clearly, Seattle's inability to create a pass rush as well should keep that from really stopping any kind of Dallas Cowboy drives. So 56 points seems like a lot. People probably look at that and they're like, I can't bet that over. That's too many points. But, this sets up like a Big 12 game. You're telling me that Russell Wilson and Dak Prescott aren't going to get 4 touchdowns apiece on Sunday? I have a tough time buying that.
And I don't know if it's coach speak or not, but Mike McCarthy's out there. He's like, yeah, no, we're not going to try to do ball control and keep Russell Wilson on the sideline. We're going to pass and try to score as quickly as possible. So if they actually play that way, like, yeah, all the signs are shooting way over 56.
Yeah. And I mean, even Seattle's slow pace, they got 38 points in game one, 35 in game two. So I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they have converted every single red zone opportunity into a touchdown at this point. And that's not surprising. Like Russell Wilson is that good. And with the way that the Cowboys defense looks to me right now, there's going to be a lot more of that Sunday.
Yeah. Great NFL card for week number 3 of the year. Our guest Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. Check out the Deep Dive podcast with Whale and Andy. You will learn a lot. If you're just an NFL fan, you don't even have to be a better, but if you're an NFL fan at all, you'll really enjoy that podcast. So I highly suggest you check that out. Best of luck, Drew, this weekend.
Hey, thanks, Joe. And best of luck to you too. And keep up the great work, man.
Up next on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski, take a look at some more games on the NFL and college football card this weekend with Stuckey from the Action Network and Vegas bookmaker Chuck Esposito. Thank you for listening to 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Early odds here on Sports Radio 670. The Score, Joe Ostrowski with you on this Saturday. I'd like to bring you some actionable information from my other sports betting show, Bet Sweats, live weekdays 9 to 11 a.m. for free on the radio.com app. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. That's the best thing to do. Bet Sweats, iTunes, Spotify, and radio.com. Myself and NFL analyst Ross Tucker, who spent 7 years in the league, spoke with Chuck Esposito, sportsbook director at Stations Casino in Las Vegas. We've had some good movement in these week three matchups earlier in the week. I know there was some action coming in on the Texans. So that game against the Steelers moved down. When you look at the look ahead, like the games like Philadelphia and Cincinnati, so some big time movement there. Eagles, such a disappointment early on. Is there an NFL game or two that you think is definitely going to move? Because we always see it on Sunday mornings. We wake up, we find out about the inactives, and there is some crazy line movement. Are there a couple of games that you're eyeing for that?
You know, I had a couple of the games that you already touched on, Circle, that we've seen some play on. We've even seen some play on the Panthers. So they have played some dogs this week. I think you can make a case, guys, for a number of underdogs this week that you might see a late push on. One is the Texans. I think the Rams, you look at who the Rams have beaten in their first two games, they look a little bit more like the Rams of 2 years ago that went to the Super Bowl. The Bills, you know, not marquee wins. They're 2-0. I guess we'll find out if they're for real or not. The Rams do have to travel back across country again, but I think maybe on the Rams. And I think the Cowboys, too. You know, I think both these two teams are good teams. They're headed, I think, both for a playoff spot in the NFC. And I know I touched on Packers Saints, maybe a preview of the NFC title game. I'm sure right now the Seahawks would have something to say about that. But I like the Cowboys, too. I think you're going to see some action come in on the Cowboys. And I think that's a game where whoever has the ball last is probably going to win that game. But those are the two that kind of stand out to me right now, guys.
Chuck, I'd love to ask you about the public dogs. Which underdogs are the public coming in on? I have a guess. Is it the Cincinnati Bengals?
It is. I mean, you've definitely seen more. I would say I'm not sure that's necessarily public. I mean, that was kind of a more of a sharp bet early in the week that they took the Bengals in that game. Same thing with the Panthers. You guys touched on too the Texans earlier. I think you look at the Rams, the Texans, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Chiefs. You can almost make a legitimate argument that in kind of five of the biggest games of the week, that there's some value with the dogs in all five of those games.
There's a lot going on this week. You mentioned already, Chuck, some of the awesome, awesome games that we're looking at. Any totals that you see being over or underinflated right now?
Well, I mean, the Cowboys-Seahawks total. I mean, it's the fact that it's, you know, so high. I mean, you look at these two teams and the Cowboys came back in that game against the Falcons. We know how they can score. Seattle has scored over 30 points in both those two games. I mean, it looks like on paper there's no way we're going to be able to keep that game under right now. So, you know, I think that game's going to continue to climb up. You'd wonder about the Washington-Cleveland game if you're going to see maybe an under there. And I think the Titans-Vikings game is a little bit high for me. I think the Titans still want to get back to that running the ball style. And it's obvious when Kirk Cousins has to throw, it's not a good thing for Minnesota. He threw three INTs last week. They want to be able to run with Cook as well. I think with both those two teams, they're going to want to control the ball and eat clock. So I think that totals a little high in the Titans-Vikings game as well.
How much do you expect Chiefs-Ravens handle to just smash any other sporting event that you've had since the Super Bowl?
It'll be huge, guys. I mean, I think everyone's been talking about this game, and anytime you have the defending champ playing a team right now that you can look at as maybe is a little bit better. I think that's why they're the favorite at home. They've played better on both sides of the ball. Jackson continues to get better every year. He's more of a pocket passer. He's got three good running backs. He's got a young receiver in Brown and a great tight end in Andrews. And, you know, the Chiefs should come in with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder or some bulletin board material that they're, you know, an underdog in this game. But I think both Sunday and Monday we're going to have huge handles on these two games because not only are they great games, but they're all four public teams, too, that usually get a lot more action. And anxious to see kind of that Packers-Saints game, too, guys. Not sure if we're going to see Michael Thomas or Devontae Adams yet, but I didn't think the Saints looked good on Monday night against the Raiders. I thought Breeze didn't show a whole lot in that game. He looked uncomfortable without Thomas. And if there's one guy who's got a chip on his shoulder this year, it's probably Aaron Rodgers. So I think both games, Sunday and Monday night, are going to have huge handles industry-wide out here.
So, Chuck, you mentioned Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas. I'm curious, how much of an impact do guys like that have either in the lines or just, you know, your guys, how you're power rating these teams?
It's funny that you say those two guys because we had the discussion last week that there was probably only two wide receivers in all of football right now that really would impact the number. And they were Devontae Adams and Michael Thomas. And maybe you could make a case that Hop was in that discussion as well. I would think it's about a half a point, maybe. It's hard to say because both teams have other wideouts, but no marquee guy on either side. So probably about a half point. We still think both these two teams are really good. It makes it more difficult for us when we don't know if they're in or out. We know that we're in an information era and we're constantly trying to get as much information as we can because we know the guys on the other side of the counter are able to get this information as well. But probably about a half point now, guys, and we'll kind of wait and see what ends up happening with these two guys. I thought, you know, early in the week that both had a good chance to play, but I'm not so sure as we speak this morning.
Which college football game is getting the most action? I mean, we got some heavyweights going at it next week in the SEC, but what about this weekend?
Yeah, it's fun to have to look at the college football board and see, you know, so many more games than we've had over the last few weeks. I mean, the Louisville-Pitt game is a really good game. I know Louisville struggled against Miami, but that game's getting good play. The Florida State-Miami of Florida game is another really good game. A little bit of action on Texas Tech, getting the points against Texas. Same thing with TCU against Iowa State. But overall, really good to see so many more games on the board for us.
Chuck, I'm good, man. I'm ready to go. Give me one underdog before we let you go.
All right. I touched on them earlier, boys. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. They're lucky to be 1-1. I think the Seahawks losing Irvin is a big loss. I know they still have Jamal Adams. Last team to have the ball in this game is going to win it. I think getting points in this one, especially over a field goal, is too much value with that Cowboys offense on primetime. I'm going to take the Cowboys and the points.
I like it. Chuck Esposito, bookmaker out in the desert. And also on Bets What's yesterday, we spoke with the Action Network Stucky. He doesn't sleep. The guy just bets nonstop. Stucky, before we get to the NFL, I want to hit on college football. Okay, Pac-12, they're in. 7 games in 7 weeks. Big Ten, they're coming back around the corner. 9 games in 9 weeks. Unlike the SEC, ACC, Big 12, there's no wiggle room with the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Do you think it's going to work?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this whole college football playoff is going to work. I mean, this would be the perfect year to just do an 8-team playoff, right, and just say all these conferences are doing different things. Let the conference champion, or if you can't even have a conference champion, just, you know, the regular season winner or the conference selects which team is going from the 5 Power Fives, the committee, and this would be the perfect format anyway. The committee takes, you know, the best group of five team and then selects the two other best teams. And then you can always make sure your Alabamas, whoever you want, are in there if they don't win their conference. It's going to be dicey. I mean, the one thing that gives me a little hope is that the Power Five teams, sans Notre Dame, have seen to be, and we don't have a huge sample size, but seem to have more stringent standards and testing. So I don't think that we're going to have as many breakouts as we've seen in some of these group of five schools, but It's going to be tough. I mean, I would be shocked if there wasn't at least a team or two that had even a more condensed schedule than what's on the schedule. So trying to figure out this college football playoff with all these conferences have different formats, different amount of games, it's going to be a mess.
Stuckey, your Ravens on Monday. That's a big game of the week. What's going on with Chiefs and Ravens on Monday? Is the three and the hook justified?
Right now, I actually make it like 3.3. I took some when it was like 3. I took some Ravens money line and just threw it in with the Colts at even money in a money line parlay. I think the Ravens win this game. The Chiefs offense, it's just a little off right now, the timing. And they have issues on that defense. We know that they can't defend the run. You know, they have injuries at cornerback. And, you know, how you beat the Chiefs, the Chargers showed us. They have the recipe. You know, you need really good defensive backs, which the Ravens do have. And, you know, you need to control the clock, keep Mahomes on the sideline, and just run the ball, which the Ravens can do as well as anybody. So, I mean, I think that they're going to control the clock. They're going to run it right down the Chiefs' throats. I mean, the Chiefs still can't defend the run. That's an awful, awful run defense. What happens with the Chiefs, and their corners who are banged up, have been banged up, they started playing better at the end of the year. But it's a good pass defense. You know, if Honey Badger, you can use in a bunch of different ways, and they get a lead, they force you to throw, and they have you know, good pass rushers, and you have Chris Jones in the middle who can get after the quarterback, and they have good edge rushers. But I don't see them, you know, getting out to a big lead and you know, forcing Lamar to drop back and have to throw. The Ravens are going to run their offense, and I think they're going to move the ball at will against the Chiefs. I think the Ravens are the best team in the NFL. They have the best roster in the NFL, top to bottom. We'll see if they could finally win a playoff game with Lamar. It's a different question. One of the things I am watching with the Ravens, though, which I don't think is going to hurt as much this week, but you won't hear a lot of people talk about this, but the loss of Tavon Young is huge, especially when you play teams with really good outside big receivers. What makes the Ravens defense go is they have two really elite cornerbacks in Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters. When they play on the outside, that's where they're most comfortable. That's, you know, when they play on the boundary corners, and, you know, you can move, Peters will, you know, play press man, will also play robber, and he'll gamble a little bit. But when they're on the outside, they're at their best. That's what Tavon Young, who, you know, he just got can't stay healthy. It's his third season he's going to miss. The Ravens made him the highest paid slot corner in the NFL before last year for a reason. And they use him in so many different ways. I mean, because Wink Martindale, all he does is blitz. He blitzes everybody. And Tavon Young can cover in the slot. He can blitz. He does so much. And more importantly, he allows Peters and Humphrey to play on the outside. Last year when Young got hurt and then Jimmy Smith came back from injury, Humphrey had to play in the slot because Jimmy Smith can't play in the slot. And Peters has to be on the boundary. Smith is just – he's way too lanky. He's not fast anymore. He's had so many injuries. So I think you're going to see Humphrey play in the slot a lot on Monday night. I don't – like on the outside, I don't know if Jimmy Smith – they're going to play Jimmy Smith at the other corner. I mean, you have – Levine, Averett, they might have to sign a slot corner, I'm thinking. But against the Chiefs, it's actually not a big deal. I mean, they're going to have a really good receiver, a really fast receiver in the slot. So if you have Humphrey in there matched up against Hill or Hardman who's in the slot, that's perfectly fine. But it's something to monitor because Tavon Young was just such an important Swiss Army knife piece that allowed everyone to play their natural position. So I don't think it'll hurt them too much against the Chiefs, but it's something worth noting in the future and seeing how the Ravens play this, if they play it any different this week, or if they go out and get a slot corner, because it's an important position than for them specifically.
Well, what is your favorite NFL bet this weekend?
I'll give you two. The Saints -3. I still make that near 5. I mean, the Packers have looked great. I don't think Adams is going to play, but they did it against, you know, two depleted secondaries full of rookies. And this is still a bad run defense. I think the Saints are just getting undervalued here. Great buy low, sell high spot after we saw what we saw in Vegas. I'm not a believer in Breeze this year. I think he's on just the downward hill. But I think they'll be able to run the ball. They'll be able to short passing attack without Adams. I mean, this Packers team is just way over bad. This line shouldn't be New Orleans -3 at home. They still have one of the most complete rosters in the NFL. And then the other one I'll give is New England. It's just a great spot for the Patriots. You know, after a loss, Belichick's like 72% against the spread. You have the Raiders on a short week with less prep coming across the country after a big win on Monday night for an early kick. Belichick will take away your biggest strength, as everyone knows. So I'm sure that he's going to load the box. He's going to, you know, bracket and take away Waller. And he could do that because he has the corners that can match up on the outside and just play man. And the Raiders' defense is just atrocious. They get no pressure. They have no corners. So I don't think Cam will have any problem moving the ball. I actually loved that bet. But I'm a little – the one thing that concerns me about that is David Andrews, the Patriots center, who just – I mean, he's their best offensive lineman. Without him, there's going to be shuffling all over that could get messy. And he has a cast on his wrist, and he was snapping with his left arm in practice yesterday. So I'm really curious to get an update on him today and his status and see what he looks like, and because that could be an important piece. But I still like the Patriots in a great spot, and I think a great matchup on both sides of the ball at six or under is great.
As you probably heard earlier, I'm also on the Pats, laying it to the Raiders. So I like that pick from Stucky there. Follow BetSweats on Twitter at BetSweats. Subscribe to the BetSweats podcast. It's live 9 to 11 a.m. every day on the radio.com app. The podcast clips usually up around noon. Up next, we get some pony picks from our guy, Jim Miller. This is Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski on 670 The Score and the radio.com app. Thanks for listening to Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski. You've got 670 The Score and the radio.com app. Around this time, every single Saturday, we bring in our friend Jim Miller from Hawthorne Racecourse. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Jim, we had the PointsBet mobile launch. I made the first bet in the state. It was great. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, I wasn't even thinking about the retail launch by you guys at Hawthorne. That's right here, huh?
Well, it's just around the corner, and it's crazy, Joe, to think that it's just around the corner because you still have full-blown casino and sportsbook expansion going on at Hawthorne, but we have a smaller area that we've been able to dedicate to racing and to the sports better. And when you talk about a smaller area, you're still talking about hundreds of TVs there, talking about accessible, easy betting kiosks to play on. PointsBet will be right there as well to get people signed up. You come in the door, you can make your bets right off the bat and then head on your way. So it is. It's a very cool setup. And this is coming where, I mean, you're less than a week away, which is very cool.
Awesome. Awesome. We've got the Preakness coming up next week. I had to double check on the date. I'm like, wait, October 3rd? That is next Saturday. Can't keep up with all the sports going on. So you can bet on everything over at PointsBet at Hawthorne Racecourse. They'll be opening this week, as Jim just mentioned. So we'll have a full breakdown of the Preakness next week. But do we have any winners for today?
We do have some winners for today. We had a pretty good week last week again. So we're going to look at three races at Santa Anita on the Saturday afternoon card, races 7, 8, and 9. And race 7, bet the four horse, Mucho Unusual. Bet this horse across the board. It's 5-1 in the morning line. Should fit well in that company. Then go on to the 8th. Bet the one horse, Touchdown Brown, across the board. A great name for our sports betting friends. 5-1 again. And then in race number 9, look to the 2, Originaire. This is a horse that you can bet to win and place 7-2, might have a chance to pull off an upset. Let's see if we can make some money going into the Preakness.
Yeah, if you've been tailing Jim lately, he's on a run right now. You've been making some good coin. So I suggest you listen to that advice from our very own Jim Miller over at Hawthorne Racecourse. Thank you, Jim. And next week, full preview of the Preakness, all right?
Yeah, we're ready to roll, Joe. Thanks.
And speaking of points bets, you can enter Points Bet Money Mondays. That's a contest we do every single week on BetSweats, my radio.com sports daily show, 9 to 11 a.m. live. Subscribe to the podcast. Basically, what we do is we give away a free $50 bet every Monday, courtesy of PointsBet. To enter, you have to follow BetSweats on Twitter, you subscribe to the podcast, and you leave a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes. Then you're entered every single week forever. Something that's not even going to take a minute of your time. Easy. Follow BetSweats on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star rating and a review on iTunes. Simple. And use your Twitter handle as your name on the review. If you don't have one, talk to someone who has a Twitter handle or sign up and get a Twitter handle, and then you're good to go. Big thanks to Jim Miller, Drew Dinsick, Stucky, and Chuck Esposito for coming on Early Odds with Joe Ostrowski this week. Inside the Clubhouse is next on the Score, and I'm not sure of my score schedule coming up because we have no idea which days and which times the Cubs will be playing in the first round of the playoffs. I will let you know on Twitter at Joe0670, at Joe0670. Best of luck this weekend, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.